Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 21st. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor on the road working hard, Michelle Bushnell. Well, actually, not quite on the road, but close enough to stand on the road. How's that?
Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Oh, we are loving the fog that we have. It just is, it's perfect. All right. Yes.
Well, it's 180 to 100 in my country, so.
Well, you can keep your country. I won't invade. Are you ready for your question this morning?
Sure.
All right. Why do some animals' eyes seem to glow in the dark?
I believe so they reflect the light so they can see at night, but I don't know.
Nocturnal animals can see well at night, partly because of a white compound called guanine in the retina. This substance provides a mirror-like surface that reflects incoming light back toward the front, giving the animal's eyes a second chance to absorb light images. This reflected light is what makes the eyes of the animals appear to glow in the dark. Good shot.
I think I was right.
You were close enough, and I don't want to see your eyes tonight.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah, it would probably come along with some fangs and a long black cape, right?
Yeah,
No. Well, yesterday, Yana Valakovic was in and was talking a little bit about the drought task force that you guys assembled and that they were to report yesterday for the five of you and that there would be some determinations possibly made at that meeting yesterday, the normal supervisors meeting. How'd that go?
So, well, it wasn't received. It was mixed emotions with the general public on their feelings. One of the issues that, you know, one of the things that we were considering doing from the recommendation from the task force was curtailing cannabis cultivation and then not allowing them to replant out after August 11th. So that created a lot of anxiety in the cannabis world. And then also additionally in the, you know, the ag lands, curtailing water for ag lands that require, you know, that to irrigate, to feed their stock is a very nerve-wracking thought. All of that is how people support themselves. And so when you talk about not being able to pay your bills, it creates a lot of anxiety. What we ended up doing was doing a proclamation of drought, emergency proclamation of emergency, and then we're going to have that task force come back to us in sometime in August with some recommendations that maybe we could work with.
I would suspect that, not cold turkey, that may not be the right analogy, but shutting things off. I mean, if you've got a bunch of animals that are relying on water, you're going to have a bunch of dead animals pretty darn quick, and I wouldn't suspect that would be part of what they wanted as an outcome.
Yeah, and the issue's not, like, drinking water for the animals. The issue's feed. So when you, you know, I'll give my ranch as an example. I have an abundance of water in ponds and stored and so forth for my stock to drink, but I have no grass. And so I'm going to have to buy feed from the valley that has no water. Likewise, in like the Ferndale area, they irrigate and they pasteurize and move their cattle from pasture to pasture to feed them. And so the big issue is food for the ranchers.
It seems like the difference between a slow death or a quick death, but the animals are going to die either way.
It is. And for cannabis, it's direct water. You know, you don't feed and water your plants, they die. It's the same end result.
Well, I was wondering, Michelle, and I think we may have touched on this in the past, is there any idea what percentage of the marijuana growers are hydroponic?
No, I don't know that. I know that there are quite a few dry farmers in the cannabis world in Humboldt County. I was able to go actually to one of the dry farms last week. Pretty amazing. I've never seen anything like it. They don't water at all. They put zero water on their cannabis. You have to have the right soil, the right climate, you know, so forth and so on. But it was pretty amazing. But I don't know the other question.
Okay. I mean, I just, and it all, being the lazy guy that I am, I would think, you know, if you put something up on a table and you don't have to weed it, you don't have to water it, you just make sure that the chemical fertilizers that are being used, whether they're natural or not, get put in at whatever the proper rate is, I would think that the harvesting would be a whole lot simpler and the whole process would be really much more straightforward than...
Yeah, I think one of the issues with hydroponic growing is that is an inside cultivation, and a lot of our farms are sun-driven cultivation.
Gotcha.
And so that, you know, you create a footprint when you run big lights and, you know, are using energy, which a lot of the cannabis farmers are really into the natural sun and outside and in the ground. And I should clarify that the curtailing of cannabis was going to be for non-forbearing farms. So if you had stored water, then, you know, of course you were going to be able to continue forward. Quite a few farms have forbearance ponds and forbearance tanks that they caught rain catchment, or they filled their tanks during the winter. So, you know, there was some guidelines there.
So they were tasked then to come back with a revised plan or refined plan. What kind of plan are the five of you looking for?
They were tasked with coming back with some ideas and some something maybe that won't be implemented this year, but that we, you know, if we're in the same position next January, February, then we'll have some regulations or some rules to follow concerning the drought. You know, the waters are, there's no doubt we're in a drought. The rivers are low and the fish are affected, the waterways are affected, everybody's affected. Water, you have to have it. And so I think we have to prepare for if we don't get enough rainfall this next winter.
And we'll talk about that and some of those steps when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:25. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell at an undisclosed location. Ooh. our correspondent in Southern Humboldt.
Yeah.
Oh. With those recommendations that were presented yesterday regarding the drought, I mean, next year, okay, dandy, great, beautiful. Doesn't really make things happen this year. Is it just kind of a, well, we'll just see how long we last and deal with it at that time? Kind of a perspective at this point?
I think so. One thing about Humboldt County, I'm not being light about it, but we are different as far as water in the rest of California, say over in the valley where the extreme heat, they don't have the humidity that we have here. The other thing about Humboldt County is, you know, in the northern region, we have lots of green grass still because we have a lot of, you know, the fog. And the other day I was up here, it was raining. So, you know, southern Humboldt is hotter but cools off at night. So the region is different than, say, in the valley where they're growing, you know, all the food over there and the hay and that kind of thing. So it's not saying that we're not in a drought, because we are. And Humboldt is affected, absolutely. But I think we're going to try to get some more information, some more reports back, and try not to financially impact so many people with recognizing that we have to do something. That is what we task them with, to come back, to give us, you know, some pathways.
One of the things that I found over the years when we were going through the previous drought cycles, and I guess maybe the last decade, when Dave Hull would come in, and he was pretty active at the state level with water and water rights and stuff, is that the state had pretty much the perspective, as they do with a lot of things, is it's one big broad brush and we're one state and we're all in it together. And if LA has got water restrictions, by golly, so is Eureka. And
yeah.
You kind of look at that and go, now, wait a minute, that makes zero sense at all logically. Yeah, it may be less paperwork for you, but logically it makes no sense. And there was a recognition of some zoning. Is there any concern now that the state is going to do another broad stroke brush and go, everybody has to do blank, and whether it's with fire or with water, obviously the two are related, that this is going to be what we do this year, and on to the next topic?
So they're not, I haven't heard that, and they're pretty much going by county to county. And so that gives a little bit of leeway throughout the state, which is a good thing, because you are correct. We are not Southern California. We're not Central California. You know, the one thing that we haven't talked about with this is the fire issue. You know, the fire issue is real. It is drier than it's ever been. That's one thing that happens with a drought. And so there's lots of concerns and lots of things that we need to think about and prepare for. I know the fire departments, the volunteer departments, Cal Fire, you know, they have geared up for a really hard fire season, as it's proving to be, not in Humboldt yet, but there's fires all around us. You can see the smoke from my area. I know the fog doesn't allow it up here as much, but there's lots of things we need to consider and prepare for, and we just got to have the right path forward. I know some towns like Rio Del and Redway water districts are already saying, please conserve. You know, this is what we're doing. We're anticipating low flows, which are proven already in the Eel River. The Eel River is extremely, extremely low.
Yeah, so in light of that, are there anything, I mean, the proclamation does what?
I'm not sure. It says we're aware and that we're aware that there's a drought and that we're supportive of measures in Humboldt County, and that's what that does, I think.
So
this is all new for me.
Yeah, but there's no enforcement component associated with that. It's more
just an
advisory kind of thing.
Yes, I think it enables Humboldt County at a county level to be able to utilize some funds for drought, you know, for drought studies, for that kind of thing, so that we can say, yes, we're in a state of emergency. We've proclaimed that. What are we going to do about it now? So it probably is a pathway for funding and that sort of thing.
So who's now in charge of I guess the drought situation? Is it multi-departments? Is it a single department? Is it the CAO's office?
It's multi-department. The task force is made up of the Ag Department, so Jeff Dolph and his team, John Ford and his team, Hank Seaman and his team. So there's like eight. I can't right off the top of my head tell you everybody, and each one of them is tasked with a different, you know, a different part. Like John for planning and building is a cannabis, and Jeff is ag, Hank Seaman is environmental, and so forth and so on. We tried to get each department head that represented an entity that's dependent on water,
right? And they are supposed to then come up with a plan for their area of responsibility.
Yep, and that was how it was presented to us yesterday, was each department head or person presented their thoughts and scientific studies of concern in their field.
Scientific studies rather than real-life experience?
Well, I think both.
Okay.
Because, you know,
fair
with,
enough,
with right? environment. Yeah.
Okay. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Michelle, as we move on to other things other than the drought, and I know certainly that that's topic number one and probably topic du jour at this time, but the county also has received, you know, the positive news about the budget. Okay, that's kind of cool. What kind of projects, one-time investments, things of that nature are you in favor of the county utilizing that $16 million unencumbered dollars for?
Well, being so new, and I'm going to have to stop using that, but I kind of am waiting for recommendations to come to see, you know, where I can, you know, get my mind wrapped around that. I need that kind of information given to me so that I can, you know, weigh it. It's really important to me as being someone that hasn't done this process before.
Or just put it all in contingency for down the road. I mean, you know, that would be a real simple thing to do.
Savings are, I'm a saver, and so savings are always important. You have to anticipate that, you know, you're going to have something that unexpectedly comes up. It always does.
Yeah, and at the same time, you've got folks tugging on your shirt tails, saying, what about this deferred maintenance or that deferred maintenance? Or
well, along that topic, you know, we had 2 weeks ago a discussion of the Garberville Vets building in Southern Humboldt that the board unanimously voted to rebuild a smaller version of it, and that's, you know, that's $3.1 million. So that was one of my big things that I wanted to get done in the Southern Humboldt area. That building has been closed for 7 years, and there's nothing down there for in Southern Humboldt. There's not a lot of venues. There's nowhere for the vets to meet. So that was, you know, a big thing for me.
Hey, what's going into the old CR when Jeff Marcy was trying to get that branch campus or community building just on the west side of the overpass?
Yep. So Southern Humboldt Healthcare bought that, and they are building a new hospital there. So their hospital currently has to be replaced because of seismic issues. And so they've secured most of their funding, and then they're raising, they needed to raise $4 million from the community. And so they're well into that and almost complete with that fundraising. And they currently just put a brand new pharmacy in there, which is really exciting because the pharmacy that we had in Southern Humboldt closed unexpectedly, like was open one day, closed the next about 6 months ago. So that we're very much limited the Southern Humboldt area from their prescriptions that they needed. So that's really exciting. I know Redwood Rural does a really good job. They bring medications down for their clients. And then there is a small venue meeting hall there that's still utilized, the Redwood Playhouse, that the healthcare is still allowing that to be rented out and used for community meetings. But it's small, doesn't have a commercial kitchen, so it's not a great venue for, say, weddings or funerals or baby showers or dance class or that kind of thing.
So is that going to replace Gerald Phelps, or is that going to be each facility will have different functions?
Each facility will have different functions. It will replace the hospital and the clinic. And I believe Gerald Phelps will become like a skilled nursing facility for elderly, which we really need. They have a small version of that right now. I think there's 10 rooms that are dedicated to a skilled nursing facility and then so many X rooms to acute care. So it will convert to that.
And that's able to be done because the standards, the state standards are different for different types of utilization?
Correct.
That's got to be some pretty exciting stuff. I mean, having the vets hall starting to happen and then also to have the healthcare facilities. Now that those two are well on their way, what's the next thing that's going to be a wow for the community?
In Southern Humboldt?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those things are going to be a few years out, and then they are talking about Garberville Gateway Project, which is a paving project from doorstep to doorstep across the Redwood, street, the main street in Garberville.
Right.
And that has been being worked on. There wasn't funding for that. Currently, there is an application in to try to get some funding for what they're calling Phase 1. It hasn't been approved yet, and that's coming through Public Works. So the sidewalks and the roads in Garberville area and Redway, there aren't any sidewalks in Redway or streetlights, and that's very not great down there. And then in Garberville, they're broken. You try to push a wheelchair through the town of Garberville on the sidewalks, and it doesn't work well. So that's something that is really wanting to be anticipated by the community, and if we can get it, it's going to be a really good project. So that's kind of what's on the horizon right now.
So Phase 1 would be the sidewalks and the curbing being addressed?
So Phase 1 would be to get all the utilities underground and get all the infrastructure work that would need to be done. I know there's some water lines that need to be replaced and that type of thing. And then to do, I can't remember if it's the paving of the main road or if it's the sidewalks. I think you would have to pull the sidewalks out, put new ones in, and then do the paving. So, but it'll be done in phases and, with community input on how they want to see the setup. There's issues down there with like deliveries for freight to the businesses right currently.
Right.
UPS
middle of the street. Yeah, that's right. That's tough.
Yeah, especially if you park near a crosswalk, you can't see around that truck when you're in the crosswalk. It is at times not been pleasant.
Yes, hazardous might be a nice phrase, huh?
So yeah.
You're looking to have all the utilities, the power lines, and the undergrounded also?
So most of the utilities down there are underground. They did that, I can't remember how many years ago, on the main street. So those are already underground.
Right.
And then on some of like Church Street, the side streets, they're looking to do that.
Oh, very cool.
To clean it up a little bit. It looks better. It's more efficient.
Isn't it amazing how clean it looks with the power lines not there?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so refreshing is the right word for
me. Okay, we can go with refreshing also. That works.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. Michelle, one of the questions that I've been asking and pushing and all that kind of stuff is in person. Has there been any determination yet by the electeds when you're going to open up the chambers and just kind of go back to normal?
So actually that was an agenda item yesterday, and we are going to be opening our chambers at our next meeting, which is going to be August 10th.
Do you know what chair you get?
I don't as of yet, and so this will be my first time in chambers since I've been elected. In 8 months, I have yet to have a meeting, an in-person meeting, so this is another new for me, and the processes and how it goes, I've not yet done. Of course, before I was elected, I attended several, many supervisors' meetings, so I'm anxious and excited. It's another new to see how the process goes and where I'll sit and so forth and so on.
You haven't even walked in there and sat in the chair and looked out just to get the perspective?
So we did a meeting in there for CAO interviews.
Oh,
so,
personnel.
So personnel. So I was in there. That was about a month ago, and I have a name placard. I sat in a seat that was given to me or whatever. So, but I'm anxious to have to look at the community live and to feel their there's something you get with public comment in person that you can't get on Zoom, and I'm anxious for that process and to see how people, to really see how they express themselves and their passion. That's part of what my job is as a supervisor, is I'm a representation for my constituents. And sometimes Zoom, it just doesn't convey that very well.
Well, and you don't see the reactions and the nonverbals and that kind of stuff. I mean, that's all part of it.
No, and I think, a lot of multitasking goes on during Zoom meetings. So I know for myself, I try really hard to absorb what's being said and pay attention, but it's not the same as in person. You get distracted easier. So I'm looking forward to having that process start again, to be able to interact with the community in person. One thing I think we voted on yesterday was to allow some kind of call-in or Zoom participation for the very rural communities, which are mine and Supervisor Madrone's. Some of my constituents live 3 hours from Eureka, and to come in, to drive all the way in for a three-minute public comment is very hard to do sometimes. So for me, I think it's really important. My students really want that option to be able to call in if they want to make a public comment on an agenda item. So we're working towards that.
There's no constitutional restrictions on allowing that to occur, are there?
No.
So it's just whether or not a district or a county wants to allow that to occur.
Correct. We don't have to, and other counties are not. They went back to completely in person with no Zoom, no phone in options. We voted to allow for the phone in public comment to make it easier for our very rural, widespread county. Some counties are all globed together in a very small space, and so it's easier for those constituents to get to that meeting. Some meetings are in the evening to make it easier, after work or whatever. For us, none of that is easy when Eureka is the central area, but the ruralness of Humboldt County is much larger.
Now, you can't pull that rookie thing if you're using technical words like globbed. It just, you've now crossed that threshold. Hey, who is the chair this year?
Virginia Bass is the chair.
Virginia is? Okay. Because I would suspect that if you have the Zoom and in person, limiting comment or reaction is going to be a little bit more critical, because on Zoom people are used to going blah 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 blah, and not have that time restriction strictly enforced.
Well, so Virginia, Supervisor Bass has done a really good job of enforcing that time, the 3 minutes. She has a little buzzer that's in her office. You can hear it on Zoom, and she, she has said you'll be muted at 3 minutes. If, she says your time's up, she, does it very politely.
But that's perfect.
One thing you can do with Zoom is you can mute them.
The side benefit, maybe she can get a sign made or a big Nerf ball or something. Not that I would know where that idea came from, but a Nerf ball over the over the front there at 30 seconds like I just got.
Yeah. So. Well, I want to recognize that the clerk staff is the one that, you know, has to do all this stuff. And so it's very much a lot of work for them. And we're down one deputy clerk, Ryan Sharp, moved on. And so he was very good at his job, very organized, and was very efficient that way. So now, Brooke and Tracy, and Tracy's doing it. She's doing a great job. While we don't have that extra person, it could be difficult for staff because they're the ones that are going to run the phone lines. They're the ones that run the Zoom interaction. They're the ones that do that kind of stuff.
They run the county.
They do with the CAO's office. So, but as far as all the technical, it's their responsibility. Kathy is right now. She already made phone calls trying to get the additional whatever we need phone line.
You know that. You know that mute button. It's coming into play right now. Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you. You guys have a great week.
Thank you, lady. Bye, okay, Michelle. Bye. See everybody tomorrow.